Okay, good afternoon. The Sefer Sichas Chulin Shel Talmidei Chachamim, which is a collection of stories, jokes that have been told over the years in the Beis Medrash of different Talmidei Chachamim, records that in a city somewhere in Ashkenaz, there were early reformers who gathered together to fix, so to speak, what was wrong with the Seder and needed to be updated for the modern times. And when they got to the Seder HaTfilah, the order of davening for Shabbos, there were different opinions about what to do with the two paragraphs of Yukum Purkan, the famous Aramaic tefillah that we have for different aspects of the leadership in Bavel and the community and the Kehillah, and to support them, to give brachos and all types of different nice things. But the issue is, Yukum Purkan seems a bit out of date. So it was a question, should we get rid of one paragraph? Should we get rid of both paragraphs? And they debated back and forth. After some time of the debate, one of the attendees announced, he said, Libi Omer Li, I think I have a proof. I have a proof to show that we should get rid of both paragraphs of Yukum Purkan, and it's based on the events by the Dor HaMabul, by the flood, because it says over there, Vayimachas Kol HaYukum Asher Pnei Al Adama, that he wiped out all of the Yukum, everything that existed on the land. So we see that you should get rid of all of the Yukum, both Yukum Purkans. You should wipe everything out and clear it away. Now, this gives us an opening to perhaps talk about in this week's Parsha. We know we have the Ten Commandments, and we have Zachar, Soma, Shabbos, the Kodesh, the mitzvahs of the positive aspects of Shabbos. Shamor is later on in the Torah and Parshas Vaschanan. But Zachar, too, the aspects of Tefillah, the davening of Shabbos, the positive aspects of Shabbos. Rav Schechter tells this story as well in a slightly different version in Bikvei Atzon, in his essay regarding a similar topic. So he cites Rabbi Soloveitchik saying that when Shadal, the famous Parshan and Baal Dikduk in Italy, used the same pasuk as a critique of the reformers. He told it as that when he heard that the reformers had removed Yukum Purkan from the Siddur, so he invoked the pasuk in Parshas Noach to attack them, so to speak, for their mistaken decision. And the idea of change of minhagim and the slippery slope, and we see that every single time we need a touchstone to go back to where do we find in Jewish history the idea of a mistake being made, of where you erode minhagim and mesorah and context and things like that, what ends up at the end of the day, we often turn towards the original removal of Yukum Purkan that started the ball rolling, and see where the reform movement ends up nowadays. They were speaking with Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, and he explained why we daven for the Reish Galusa. We don't even have an exilarch anymore, Reish Galusa, a term that only Orthodox Jews ever use. Nobody ever uses the term exilarch besides us. And he said that we don't touch the Siddur, we don't change it. And he said in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim felt that once the early reformers started playing with Yukum Purkan, and then changing the Siddur, they continued down the path to no end. And the Chafetz Chaim said that the kleiner Yukum Purkan, the little Yukum Purkan, that little tefillah that we thought was not so important, ended up breaking through the dam and setting a precedent, unfortunately, for a good percentage of Jewish history that led to a terrible destruction of Yiddishkeit. The earliest mention of Yukum Purkan is in the Machzor Gemeiza, the Machzor, the city of worms, which means it's sometimes before 1190. We know it's certainly in Babel, but we have no open mention to Yukum Purkan before 1190. It's also found in the Siddur Rashi, and in that Siddur Rashi, or the Talmidim of Rashi, say, Vein Omrim Yukum Purkan min Shemaya im locha liyos b'Shabbos. Unless it's Shabbos, and we'll get back to that later on. Yeah.
So if it's in 1190,
yeah,
Worms was fairly decimated already in 1096 with the First Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
The great Tosafot and so forth who lived in Worms, Spires, and Mons.
Yes.
Suffered horribly.
Yeah.
So this is obviously in manuscript.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess what we have to assume is that it precedes the Crusade. 1096.
Correct, 100%, for sure. It definitely goes back to Bavel and the Gaonim, but the first time we have a record is that point. It certainly existed before the time, 100% correct. In the Tikkun HaTfilos and the Otzar HaTfilos, the classic work on Tfilah and Davening, so he says that it was established in Bavel after the closing of the Gemara in order to bless the supporters of the community who were Osek B'Tzarchi Tzibor, to bless the yeshivas, the rabbis, their students who learned Torah, and finally bless the people who support the yeshivas as well. The Tikkun HaTfilos then notes that it's also mentioned as well in the Hagos Mordechai, who were the Mordechai guy happened to have also been killed in the Crusades as well, in the first parak of Shabbos. The Baal HaMaor of Zeracha HaLevi also talks about Yikum Purkan in his comments in Erevin and Daphne and Tess. So we see that it was always in all the different communities. At a certain point, Sephardim stopped saying Yikum Purkan, but it always existed throughout the different Jewish communities. And the reason it's written in Aramaic is because that was the language that was spoken at the time, and that's how people communicated, and they want the Tzibur to understand this very important bracha. Although the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis famously says we don't daven in Aramaic because it's not appropriate. We want to be able to communicate to Hashem directly. That's only for tefillas yachid, an individual, but not a tefillas hatzibur. And therefore, we recite Yikum Purkan in Aramaic because it's a tefillah for the tzibur. And this is cited lahalacha by the Rama in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Reish Pei Dalet Siv Zayin, where the Rama says, "V'nogen lomar Yikum Purkan ve'in bizeh mishum isra techinas b'Shabbos." It's not a problem of making any personal requests on Shabbos as well. And the Chaim Moshe says that this is established to be said after Kriyas HaTorah, because after the reading of the Torah is an Eis Ratzon, is a time of great connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rutzi Pesach Frank in his Har Tzvi, his Chedush Man Shas, wonders why the paragraph that can be said by the individual, we know that there's two paragraphs you can pork on. One is said no matter where you are. The second one is only said if you're davening with Betzibur. But if you're davening at home, you don't say the second one. So how come that paragraph that can be said by the individual is said in Aramaic? So he says that even when we're in that paragraph, as we'll discuss in a moment, we're asking for spiritual things, tzarchei shemaim, not physical things. And when we are davening for spiritual things, not just physical things that are gashmi, we want children who learn Torah and things like that, it's considered something that's not a tzorech hayach, and it's not just you, it's on really for all of Klal Yisrael. When you're davening with something spiritual, it's not just for you, the individual, it really affects the entire community as well. Rabbi Yitzhak Goodman, who is the Rabbi Emeritus of the Young Israel in Far Rockaway, has a beautiful Sefer on Chumash, in his work on Shmos, so he cites Rav Avram Shapiro, not the chief rabbi of Israel, a different Rav Avram Shapiro, also wrote a sefer called the Birchas Avram, but still not the chief rabbi of Israel, one who lived over 100 years ago, who discusses a major contradiction we find in Chazal. We know that the Gemara in Shabbos Kufnu and Vav famously says, Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Jewish people don't work through constellations, they don't work through luck. We have a connection directly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no mazel in the forecast of the Jewish people. However, we also know there's other Gemaras. The Gemara at the end of Moed Katan says that Benai, children, Chayai, the amount a person lives, and Mizonai, the person's food and their parnasa, that all depends on mazel. So which is it? Is nothing depend on mazel for the Jewish people? Or there are things that depend on mazel, the constellations and the atmosphere and the heavenly bodies. Do those things affect the Jewish people? So the Birchas Avram explains as follows. He says that for the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, the group of Klal Yisrael as a unit, there is no mazel. The Jewish people have a direct connection to Hashem al pi hashkacha just based on being part of the Tzibur. However, for the individual person of the Jewish people, those things do have mazel. And he goes on to explain, how do I then connect to the general hashkacha, that general connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and kind of remove myself from the mazel, those things that are predetermined, or the luck that comes with being an individual? You have to make yourself part of the tzibur. And he says, that's the benefit of davening with a minyan. We've all come right now to daven mincha, Tzibur Barabim, and when you do that and you daven with a unified group, that takes you away from the individual mazel that you may have had at the time you were born based on the constellations, and it moves it towards the Tzibur and allows you to connect directly to Hashem and bypass all those things that may have been in your stars, so to speak, that already predetermined what was going to be. You can leave those things by becoming part of the Tzibur and connecting to Hashem as part of a unit. And this is the benefit of davening with Tzibur. And with this, the Birkas Avram explains that the second Yikum Purkan, we list and we request for our children, Benai, we request for Chayai, a long life, and we also request for Mizonai, we request as well to Hashem for Parnasa and food and things like that, to be part of the Tzibur. Because this paragraph is a tefillah for the Tzibur, and it's not recited by someone who doesn't come out to shul. And since we're acting as a Tzibur, you can ask, why do we ask for those three things? Because we're telling Hashem, Hashem, originally my mazel was already set for my children and how long I was going to live and what my parnas is going to be. But now, Hashem, I'm now part of a tzibur. I'm davening in shul, musaf on Shabbos, I'm with the community. Don't look at what my initial mazel was when I was born, but now look at me as part of the unified group. And now whatever that mazel was before, take that away, and now give me direct hashkacha, a direct line of connection to Hashem by davening together with the tzibur. And he says that's what's going on when it comes to Yukum Purkan as well. The Sefer Chassidim writes in Os Tuf Tuf Shinayin, he says, we ask as well for Ubrios Gufa. We ask for health. And why specifically here on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos, he says, the mazikim, the supernatural negative energy in the world, have reshus to harm those people who are mechal Shabbos b'farhesa. Those people don't keep Shabbos, and therefore we daven for Brias Haguf. We daven for the health of those people who may be in danger for not keeping Shabbos, and also for those people who are sad on Shabbos. It's not appropriate to be sad on Shabbos, a day of great joy, and therefore we ask also for sort of a spiritual uplifting as well, and to connect to Hashem in that spiritual range. Now, let's move on to probably the most famous part of Yom Kippur, and that is the Reish Galusa. So we already explained, even though we have not had a Reish Galusa in 1,000 years, and most people don't even know what a Reish Galusa is, and people don't even use the term Exilark anymore, unless, of course, you're looking in an art scroll and they're translating the word in the Gemara. So what is the idea of the Reish Galusa? So the Ian Tefillah makes an important distinction in case you were wondering. He says the Reish Galusa means someone who comes from the line of Shlomo HaMelech only. Just because somebody's from Malchus Beis David, percentage-wise, there's a good chance that everybody in this room has blood that goes back to David HaMelech, and just based on how Jewish history worked out, and many people probably here also descended from Rashi, even if you know it or not, because Rashi is really the foundation, his family is the foundation of Ashkenaz. So at the end of the day, just because you descend from Yehuda or Rashi doesn't mean that you perhaps are in line to be the Reish Galusa. You must descend from Shlomo HaMelech only. We know David had a number of children. So Reish Galusa means only from Shlomo HaMelech. Not to be confused with the line of the Nesias, of the leadership of the Jewish people. We know Hillel HaZaken, down to his great-great-grandson Hillel, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That whole line is not the same line. That's a different line. The Gemara in Ksuba says that that line comes from Shephatia ben Avital. Avital was the wife of David HaMelech, and Shephatia was the son. The Nesias of Klal Yisrael, the Torah leadership, not the Reish Galusa, comes from a different line from David HaMelech, and the two lines serve different roles. This is discussed in the Gemara in Ksuvas, the Gemara in Horios, the Medrash Rabbah in two places in Brachos, Rav Yaakov Emden, and both Gemaras in Ksuvas and Horios discusses this as well, the difference between the line of the Nesias, the presidency, and the line of the Reish Galusa. And then we request also for Dayane Debava, the judges who sit by the Bava. What's a Bava? A gate. The judges who sit by the gate. And that's the simple explanation. We know, Shoftim v'shochim sein lecha b'chol sharecha, that the judges sit by the gate. And throughout Tanakh, we see that judges always sit by the gate. Now, the issue with this explanation is the Yukum Purkan was written in the days of the Gonim. And by that point, we know, Dayanim no longer sat by gates. So what does it mean, the Dayanim who sit by the gates? The judges didn't sit by the gates in the days of the Gonim. So what are we referring to? So there's a fascinating explanation by Rav Avram Stern, who's a Rav in Montreal. He has a sefer called Kovetz Kisvei Agada. In Chelik Beis, he brings a beautiful chiddush. He says that Dayanei Debava are the experts in Choshen Mishpat, the experts who teach us about the laws of torts and damages. Why? Because it's the experts in the three Bavas. It's the experts in Bava Kama, the experts in Bava Metzia, and the experts in Bava Basra. So when we ask for Dayanei Debava, the judges of the Bava, it doesn't mean the judges by the gate. It means the experts in Choshen Mishpat who help us with monetary issues and things like that. A beautiful chiddush. The Shelis Yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, says during the week people don't always come to shul, and the rabbis wanted to make a bracha for Kavodat Torah, and that's why we say this specifically on Shabbos. But why not Yontif though? How come just Shabbos not Yontif? So there's a number of explanations. The Rokeach says it's to allow people on Yontif, it's a lengthy davening, we want to keep it short, so they cut out Yom Kippur Kan. The Seder of Troyes, the Minhagim of the Book of Troyes in France, so they say that Yom Kippur Kan is said when there's no tefillah of Kapara. In the Musaf of Yontif and Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh, things like that, we always ask for kapara in our musaf. But on Shabbos, we never ask for kapara, and therefore, we have to have Yukum Purkan to come in the place of asking for forgiveness. There's other explanations as well. It's reserved for Shabbos because Torah is primarily studied on Shabbos. Another suggests the reason is Yukum Porkin is only recited on Shabbos to recall the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa would sit in his special chair at the front of the shul on Shabbos, and it was out of the covet of the Reish Galusa. Just one last point interesting about Yukum Porkin, Rav Ari Pomeranchik in his Emek Bracha. So he discusses the, and this is obviously a discussion for much a longer discussion at another time. When we have things going on after read the Torah, where should the chazan stand? Where should the person who reads the Haftorah stand when the Torah is being held right behind him? Is it a lack of kavod Torah for the person reading the Haftorah to have his back to the Torah? Or where should he stand? So I know this is a big debate in different shuls, what should go on. So Rav Ari Pomeranchik, the famed Talmud of the Brisker Rav, he says very quickly that when it comes to aspects of limud HaTorah, it's not a lack of kavod Torah to have your back to the Sefer Torah. So if you're reading from the Haftorah, it's perfectly fine, he says, to have your back to the Torah. There's no reason to stand off to the side. But when it comes to saying Yukum Purkan and the Misha Berach, he says, you should stand off to the side, not with your back to the Torah, because that's not an aspect of Kavod HaTorah. That has nothing to do with Limud HaTorah, that's something else, and therefore, in such a case, you stand off to the side. Only when it comes to the Haftorah, he says, can you have your back to the Torah. Okay, we'll stop here.